Hearing that song at the cross, it's so important for us to realize and know how much Jesus went through to bring all humanity into relationship with God. He gave his very life so that we could be forgiven and we could have eternal life. And that's not just we, it's all we's, every person out there. And so it's so important to understand what a drastic showing of love that Jesus did, that he sacrificed himself through a brutal death. When we are here at church, you see the cross is always behind us. It's a visual reminder that we've been forgiven for our sins and the sins that we sometimes continue to make. We have to keep going back to that cross and asking God to forgive us because we're still human and we still continue to fall short. But not only that, it's a visual reminder that that cross is there for everybody so that no matter who it is in our life, we're also charged by God to forgive everyone and also to offer everyone forgiveness and salvation, and the love that came from Christ belongs to everybody everywhere. And we're going to go to the book of Acts this morning because this will help us understand perhaps what happened after Jesus' death, the resurrection, especially to Peter, who was a follower of Christ, who was somebody that watched all the miracles that Jesus performed. But more importantly, Peter was there to see all the people that Jesus interacted with, all the people that were outcasts, all the people that were not of Jewish faith, all the people that were Samaritans and they were Greeks, and they were sinners, and they were just people like us. Such a diverse crowd that Jesus ministered to. He just didn't come, we find that Jesus didn't come just for the righteous and the religious. In fact, he had to help those religious people understand who God really is and what the Spirit of God's word is. But he came for everybody, and we have to understand that. And I think even today, for those of us that believe in diversity, we also have to recognize that some of us still don't quite get what diversity really means. It means everybody, everywhere, no matter who it is. And so we have to really reflect upon ourselves, and very often we have to look within ourselves to say, where am I not always being as inclusive as I could be? What are the things, the biases, the prejudices that I have, that you have, that we have, that cloud our mind into thinking that person is less than or that person isn't somebody God could change or love? There's nobody that God doesn't love. Now, God wants us all to act in loving ways, so each and every one of us have to constantly look at, how am I not loving people the way God would want me to? And so that's so important for us, particularly in these trying, troubling times where somehow, some way, we have to get a grip and understand that all people are created equal. There are no favorites to God, even though I know some days I think I'm his favorite. But needless to say, we are not, anybody's not above us or below us. We're all equal in God's eyes. When Jesus hung on the cross, he did it for everyone, no matter who it is. And hopefully that makes us want to be better people. The cross says to me that because of what Christ did, I want to live for him in a way that I never did before and be a better person, be like him. He gave everything, and so we have to give everything. That means loving everybody, and that's so hard to do, I know, but it's something we must do if we're going to call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. So in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 10, this is a way that we see God really open the mind of Peter. Keep in mind that Peter traveled with Jesus. He was Jewish. He followed all the Jewish traditions and religious rituals and things of this nature, as did Jesus. He followed that line of his religion. But then Jesus also expanded upon that and said that he came for everybody, that whoever calls on his name would be saved. It wasn't just for a select few. And so in Acts, it says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. One of my ancestors, no doubt. He was a devout man who feared the Lord of Israel as did his entire household. He gave generously to charity and was a man who regularly prayed to God. So this is somebody that's not Jewish. He's a Gentile, as we would call him. Anybody that wasn't Jewish during those times was considered a Gentile. He was Roman. He was an officer. But he was somebody that worshiped God privately. And so we never know where a person's faith is, but we do know that this man was somebody that prayed to God and gave by his acts. He gave to charity. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God. Now send some men down to Joppa to find a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. Ask him to come and visit you." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. Lunchtime, but he had to pray. While he was there, something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners as he saw this in a vision. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "Never, Lord," Peter declared. "I never in all my life eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws." So right away we see a vision. Peter gets a vision. Cornelius had already had one. Peter gets a vision, and it's a large sheet with all these animals that were forbidden in the Jewish law. But God is saying, take and go ahead and eat that. And of course, Peter thinks he's being tested, I'm sure. And he decides and he says, okay, I'm going to pass this test. I'm not going to eat one of them. It's forbidden by Jewish law. So he's doing good. He's checking off that box because he's following the law, so he thinks. The voice again said, "If anyone says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't." The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was pulled up again to heaven. So obviously it took 3 times for the same vision. You know, Peter saw this. God says, if I say something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. If I say someone is acceptable, don't say they're not, essentially, because we're going to see what transpires. So we see Cornelius has one vision, go find Peter. God then gives a vision 3 different times to make sure Peter gets the point. You know, it wasn't just once like, okay, well, maybe I saw something I didn't think I saw. 2nd time, 3rd time. And God speaks through this angel to Peter in this vision. Peter was very perplexed and said, "What could this vision mean?" Just then, men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside at the gate. They asked if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, he's still like, right? when God's trying to get through to us, can we kind of just take the vision for what it is? But needless to say, there are three men have come looking for you. 3 men, 3 visions. Go down and go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them. So now, not only does he have this vision, now we have a Holy Spirit speaking directly to Peter and says, go down and talk to these men. So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout man who fears God of Israel and is well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to send for you so you can go to his house and give him a message." So Peter invited the men to be his guests for the night. Good job, Peter. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some other believers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. Obviously, Cornelius thinks it's going to be big time. This vision I got, this is going to be big. I'm not only going to see this man myself, I'm going to invite my friends and relatives. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell to the floor before him in worship. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a human being like you." Good job, Peter. So Cornelius got up and they talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know, it's against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure. So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you have sent for me." Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send some men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come.'" Now here we are, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. What was the first message that the Lord had given him? Never think of anybody as impure. Never say that someone is not acceptable to God when God says everybody's acceptable to God. We are all equal in God's eyes. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God doesn't show partiality. In every nation, in every home, in every city, in every town, in every person, God accepts those who fear him and do what is right. I'm sure you've heard about the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened all through Judea, beginning in Galilee after John the Baptist began preaching. And no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. This Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by crucifying him, but God raised him to life 3 days later. Then God allowed him to appear not to the general public, but to us whom God has chosen beforehand to be his witnesses." That would be us, we Christians. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. We, Jesus, Peter, yes, he's the one. He was there to see that. And then here's what Jesus did. He ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is ordained by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles too. Why are they amazed? Tell me that one. Peter just hears and says and shows that Jesus came for everyone, that everyone who believes in him, it will be saved. He also says that God shows no partiality. He has no favorite, that salvation is for everybody. And the Holy Spirit falls on these people right there in front of them, and they're wondering, well, I wonder why that happened. The Holy Spirit fell only on us. How is it got transferred to them? You see how people are. They just can't grasp the idea that God is for everybody, everywhere, all the time. You can see how even their bias right there, that they thought they were special, that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it wasn't supposed to be for the Gentiles. Why would God want the Gentiles to have salvation? Why would God want the Gentiles to have equal rights under God? That's the way God operates, though. You can see how quickly it's so. We can hear the words that God shows no partiality. We can hear that everybody is somebody that God loves. But putting it into practice right before our eyes, we have to look at ourselves and say, why would I have that bias? I guess that's part of our human nature. That's the thing I think we need to repent of the most. To think that anybody is not available to have God's redemption and God's love and God's power. So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. So not only did Peter go to the house one time and say, I'm not supposed to be in here, but I'm in here anyway because God sent me. Good. I'm glad God did that. But this opens a door forevermore for the fact that there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, men, women, old, young, black, white, polka-dotted, purple, I don't know what we how to have to separate ourselves all by, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Can we please stop dividing people up into categories? Can we please stop labeling people as this is what I am and this is what you're not? Can we stop talking about how we're different, although being different is a good thing? Obviously, God did not create us. He created us equal in the sense of being people that he loves, but we're all different and different for a reason because we all have different gifts and talents and abilities, and we have other things that we have that some other people don't have. So be it. It's for the purpose of being who we are to make a better world as a result of it. We have spiritual gifts and talents. None are better or worse than the others. We're all in this together. Please, can we stop putting labels on people? Even now today, we have the masked and the unmasked. I mean, how far has this society gone when we got to say that somebody wearing a mask is a certain persuasion and someone who doesn't wear a mask is a different persuasion? We wear a mask so that we don't infect other people with COVID-19. That's the reason we wear it. Now, of course, if I grab out my special mask of a certain team that I happen to love, I could certainly, see, now I get boos from the audience. Is being a Patriot fan less than being a Colts fan? Oh, there we go. How easy we just fall into it. We love everybody as long as they're not a Patriots fan. What in the world? Let me get my non-denominational mask back or my non-threatening mask. You know, when you wear one of these, you just, you know, it's kind of comfortable and so forth. You just kind of look, you know, like you fit in. Soon as you do something different, all of a sudden you don't fit. We have got to stop this in our country, in our world, and in our churches. More so, let me backtrack. In our churches first, then in our country, then in our world. If we as people, as a church that's, I'm talking to us, of course, but whoever you are, if you're part of Cornerstone or not, you got to understand what we stand for. We are a church that it says we offer God's love to all. We don't say all black, all white, all green, all purple, all gay, all straight, or whatever. We've got to stop this. We've got to stop this. Now, I know that biases start early when we're young. When I was a little girl, when we went to class, first grade, you know, based on how good you could read, you got put into a different group. The blue birds, the red birds, and the brown birds. And we learned right then discrimination. We learned immediately that if you were a smart person, you were in the blue birds. If you were not so smart, you were put into the red birds. And if you were like not, can't even read hardly at all, you were the brown birds. We learn that early on, and what it does is it gives lack of self-esteem to people, that somebody is better, or just because they're smarter, they can read better than you, that makes you a better person? I don't think so. Anyway, my little childhood trauma there for a second. But needless to say, it's okay to be smart. It's okay to be all these great things. I'm not saying I don't want to be excellent. What I am saying is let's not put ourselves in categories. That's not what God is about. We see that even after Peter preached this good news, he had to go back to Jerusalem to the Christians that were there, the new church. And he has to explain to them, what the heck were you doing in a Gentile house? He had to explain that God came for even the Gentiles too, because the scriptures say that. If you read the book of Isaiah, you'll see that he came for the Gentiles too, for all humanity. So, you know, I was thinking this morning, how do you help people not have biases? That's the age-old question. And I read an awesome article on the Anti-Defamation League, which is trying to teach people how not to have, even if you have a difference with someone, you don't have to defame them. You don't have to say that they're, you know, your tone of voice changes when you say that person is whatever it might be, that word that we use, especially politically, right? Oh, boy, you know. So that said, they did a study with children. And I brought some props, as I wanted to do. I don't know if you can see them, but these are oranges. And so they took five-year-old children, and they were wanting to teach them the lesson that we're all really the same. And so what they did was they gave the children oranges, and they let the children hold them and mess with them and so forth, really take a look at them. And they really looked at the oranges, and they said, okay, take those oranges, right? You can see how they're what? The orange, round. The same? Oh, wait, no. One's bigger than the other. Does the bigger one better than the smaller one? Is it sweeter? Uh-huh. One's a little more yellow on the top. It's not quite ripe. That's all fine when you're picking out oranges, right? You want to pick out one that's not bruised. That's all good. But it's not how we are to pick out people, is it? So they gave these children these oranges, and they each held on to them. And then they took the oranges and they put them in a basket. And they said to the children, pick out your orange. And believe it or not, they picked out the exact orange that they had had. In fact, they said, that's my orange. It had a little black dot on it. This belongs to me. It's so important to me. This is my. And then this would say, well, I don't want that orange. Give me that orange back. I want my own orange back, right? We see how five-year-old children have this sense of what belongs to them is what they hold on to, right? And they look at it and they say, that's mine, and that's not yours. So right away you got a little bit of separation, correct? But it's important if you had your own orange, you want to know which one's yours, right, to take it back. So then what they then did, the teachers did, is they took the oranges and they peeled them all. And what you have when you take off the outside of an orange, what do you have? You have orange inside, right? At that given point, they put them back in the basket. You know, the children couldn't pick out their own oranges anymore. And the point is, obviously, what we look at on the outside is not what's important. When we peel away all the stuff that we are, our color, our shape, our size, our age, all those visual things that we sometimes present to the world on the outside appearances, what matters to everybody and anybody is the same is inside, is it not? God is inside each and every one of us. We all have the same heart. We have our own individual hearts, but we have the heart of God in us, and we have God's Spirit within us all. Just as Cornelius received the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. What we show the world might be an appearance, and what we have to be careful of is whether or not we say, this is my group. This belongs to me. I only want to be a part of them. Because now we have a them and a they and a us, right? Us and them. Not so to be inside of a church. Never. And it shouldn't be throughout humanity, but we got to start here, I suppose. And then there was this lemon that happened to get amongst this group. Now, for those of you that are, you know, not exactly would like to eat a lemon, like, you know, just bite it and chomp into it, right? It's kind of bitter inside. It's sour. When we come to Christ, this is what I think we all are. A bunch of lemons. And I know they always say, well, if you're given lemons, make lemonade, right? No. What I say is let's make lemonade. What do we have to add to lemonade to make it taste good? Sugar, right? Lots and lots of sugar. It takes the bitterness away, doesn't it? It takes the sourness away. Some of us are sourpusses in our spirit sometimes, right? So when we come to Christ, we all come like this. And inside, we're pretty sour, most of us, because we've had who knows what happened in our lives. But when we come to Christ, the sweetness comes. He's the sugar that gets added to us. And before you know it, we're no longer a bitter lemon. We become like an orange. The difference between an orange and a lemon really is just some sugar. Both of them have vitamin C, but I don't know about you. I think it's time for us to say that, okay, I love this lemon when it has sugar in it, and I'm going to love it before when I get it, but I'm going to add Christ to it and make it sweet. So each of us have to look at ourselves and say, okay, have I gotten a little on the sour side? Can life get in and put me into this mode again? Well, I don't know. I don't know if you ever made lemonade and put sugar in it. Can you make it unsweet again? Once it's in there, I guess you'd have to like burn it and all kinds of stuff to get the sugar out of it. So why bother? Once you come to Christ, hopefully we all become like these oranges. Sweet. Our speech is sweet. Our actions are sweet. We look at everybody else and we say, you're just like me inside. And if somebody comes into your life and they start out like this lemon, we have to love them anyway, right? What we do as Christians and as a body of believers and as a church is we put the sweetness into people's lives. We accept people just as they are when they first come to us. And when we get lemons in a church, we make lemonade by adding the sweetness of Jesus Christ. So I guess what I want to say is this. We're all different, but we're all the same. If we want to be like Christ, we choose to ask God within ourselves to change our heart, to change our mind, let more and more sweetness in of who God's Spirit is. When we look outside our eyes and look at other people, we look not at the exterior, at the outward appearances, because sometimes people can look like they're got it all together, because like the Pharisees who are whitewashed tombs that inside were full of rottenness, they never had the Spirit of God within them. We that are proclaiming to be followers of Christ, we all have to treat each other just the way Christ would treat them. So whether we want to put people in categories, how about we're all people that God loves. How about that category? Let's just be that category. We are all children of God. We're all children of God who God loves. We all look different, sound different, have different gifts and talents, but inside each and every one of us, we were created by God, and we all have the same potential inside us. And those of us that have had sour lives in the past, by bringing God in, we can then become sweetened. Cornelius was changed. The Holy Spirit came to that, him and his whole entire family. Cornelius was never known again as just a Gentile, and Peter was never known as just a Jew. They were known as followers of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ who had salvation for eternity. So don't let anybody tell you you're less than. Don't let anybody tell anybody else that somebody else, because of the skin color, gender, age, size, whatever it might be, let's stop the biases. Let's look at people not on the outside only. Let's look at the beauty that's inside of everyone. And let's continue to be the people that God has called us all to be as a church body. Let's continue to bring in people that are different from us and have one thing that's the same for all of us. God loves us all. Amen. Amen.